one girl.
The country music you grew up with. Real Country, 1430 AM at 107.3 FM, WRDN.
No, sir, I ain't been drinking. I ain't even had one beer. This sweet thing's got me buzzing from whispering in my ear. Just take a peek up in here at this little hot mess. Mister, you'll understand. I'm doing my best and I know I'm all over the road. I can't help but go. Little bit of left, little bit of right. It's hard to drive.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. Now, I never did see the television program, but I was told about it. A race of some kind, I think around the world. People in pairs, so two people at a time, combining to progress through various stages. Now, at this stage in the TV program, the pairs were in the Bahamas at a resort. And what they had to do there was slide down a water slide, one of those steep ones, the ones sort of thrill seekers like. Now, you know, they're over in a moment, it doesn't take long, it's not all that steep, you get butterflies in your stomach, but people do it all day long, no one ever comes to harm, except the guy and his girlfriend were at the top of the water slide, and she wouldn't slide, even though it meant that they would not be in the running to win $1 million. She wouldn't slide. He pleaded with her. He cajoled her. He coaxed her. But she just wouldn't do it. If she slid down the slide, they'd still be in the running for $1 million. If she didn't, they'd be out of the race. They were out of the race, on their way home, no longer contending for $1 million. Now, I know there are times you come up against your fears, whatever they may be. But there are times when, in order to get something done, you need to take a leap of faith. And that's what I'm going to do today. No, I'm not going to go down a water slide. In fact, I've ridden that same water slide I told you about a moment ago. I've yet to meet a water slide that I wouldn't ride. This? Tougher. I mean, much tougher. This is going to require me to make a leap of faith. An actual leap of faith. When you come to the Bible, you see example after example of faith. In fact, the Bible says that salvation comes by grace through faith. So faith is a prerequisite for everlasting life. The book of Hebrews says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. So faith is utterly essential. So we're going to find out what faith is, maybe what it isn't. 45 minutes from the It Is Written Ministry headquarters, just outside Chattanooga, Tennessee, is a place called the Lookout Mountain Flight Park. Now first, let's consider some of the great stories of faith before we take a leap of faith. If you wanted to read about faith, you'd go to Hebrews 11, where we read about the heroes of faith. Hebrews 11 is like the Hall of Fame for people of faith. We could call it the Hall of Faith. The chapter starts with these words. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which tells us something. Faith is what allows you to have something you might currently only hope for. It's what provides evidence for you of things that you cannot see. Let me say that again. Faith allows you to say, I'm only hoping for it, but I believe I have it. And I don't see it, but I believe I have it. In Hebrews 11 verse 2, we read that by faith, The elders obtained a good testimony. The men of old were attested to by faith. I'll give you an example of that. You can have great faith, saving faith, strong faith. It's easier than you might think. Remember the story of Moses sending the 12 spies to see what the promised land was like? They were told to bring back a report of what they saw, which they did and didn't. Moses said to them, "See what the land is like. See whether the people are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. See if the land is good or bad," and so on. And he told them to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Numbers 13:27 says, "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit.'" Now that was, so far, faith. "Go and look," Moses said, "and come back and tell me what you saw." Up until this point, that's what they had done. But then they say, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." In other words, we've gone from informing you of what we saw to interpreting what we saw. They already had God's promise that he would drive the inhabitants of the land out of there. They didn't need to worry themselves with what seemed possible or what seemed impossible from a human viewpoint. They just needed to tell the facts. Faith would have said, "This is what we saw, and God is going to work it out," for the simple fact that God had promised to work it out for them. Now, Numbers 13, verse 30 and on. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out." And so continued the downward spiral that ultimately saw the children of Israel spend 40 years in the wilderness, a year for every day the spies were gone. So where do we see faith in this story? Joshua and Caleb believed God against the odds, against all appearances. Contrary to how things seemed, they simply believed God. They believed that God could deliver the promised land into their hands. Here they were on the borders of Canaan. Joshua and Caleb simply believed that God could do what he said he would do. And that was faith. Believing that God would do what he said he would do simply because he said it. In other words, taking God at his word and expecting God to do what he says. Faith. That's faith. Now, I said I was going to take a leap of faith today, and this is no joke. It's not something I ever thought I would do, but I'm going to do it. Wish me well. I'll be back in just a moment.
Jesus said he came into the world to give us a more abundant life. And you can have that by making simple changes that bring profound results. And with that in mind, I'd like to offer you a special book. It's called Confidence in Chaos. If you want to get your heart right with God, this is the book that's going to set you on the path to that place. In order to get this book, call right now. The number is 1-800-253-3000 and simply ask for Confidence in Chaos or visit us online at iiwoffer.com.
You know that at It Is Written, we are serious about the study of the Word of God, and we encourage you to be serious about God's Word also. Well, I want to share with you another way that you can dig deeper into the Word of God. And here it is. itiswritten.study. Go online to itiswritten.study and you can access the It Is Written Bible Study Guides, 25 in-depth Bible studies that will walk you through the Bible. It's going to be good for you, and it's the sort of thing that you will want to tell somebody else about, so that they can dig deeper into the Word of God and come to know the things of the Bible intimately. As you get into the It Is Written online Bible study guides, you'll understand the prophecies of the Bible, the plan of salvation, and more. So don't forget, itiswritten.study. itiswritten.study. Thanks for joining me today on It Is Written. So, faith is taking God at His word, expecting God to do what He says He can do simply because He said it. And I want to give you an idea of what faith looks like. When I wore a younger man's clothes, I promised myself that I would do a parachute jump. I never did, and I don't know if I ever would. But one thing I never promised myself I would do was to hang glide. Now, it looks like a ton of fun. You've seen people way up there soaring like a bird flying high above the countryside. The view has to be spectacular. Well, just outside Chattanooga is Lookout Mountain. And up on Lookout Mountain, you'll find Lookout Mountain Flight Park, where people hang glide. And someone suggested to me, maybe you'd like to go hang gliding. And I said, no. And they said, why not? And I said, because no. But then I thought about it. People do it all the time. It's relatively safe. It'd have to be incredible. Now, it's hard to ignore the danger aspect. That's true. But think about this with me. In the United States, about 40 people die every year skiing. About 100 people die every year in hunting accidents. And then think about cycling and swimming. Very significant fatalities every year. And yet people do them all the time. Now, I'm not doing this because I think it's dangerous. I'm doing it because it'll be awesome. It'll be exhilarating. And because I genuinely believe I'm going to be okay. And why do I believe I'm going to be okay?
So how long have you been doing this?
Been flying for 11 years.
How many times have you flown? I mean, guess for me. How many flights does that equate to?
Between 300 to 500 times per year.
That's thousands of times. So to a greater or lesser extent, you're going to teach me to hang glide.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not going to die.
No, you're not going to die.
Why should I believe you?
Because I want to keep my reputation clean.
All right, that's good. That's a good reason. Yeah.
So I want to make sure I only send you when it's safe.
So what is it that's going to ensure that I'm safe?
I'm not going to let you go unless I know it's safe for you to go. And I explained you the basics of the flight.
So if I do what you tell me, listen to you, follow instructions,
yes.
I should be okay.
You should be fine. Absolutely, yes.
Which sounds a whole lot like faith. When it comes to faith, we listen to what God says and trust that He'll do what He says He can do. Now, I'm fully aware that my friends at Lookout Mountain Flight Park aren't God, but the principle remains the same. I'm going to do what they say and trust. Trust that it's all going to be okay. So, is this blind faith? No, because there's this track record they have of proven success. This is what they do. This works. They do this all the time. There are lots and lots of people who can say, I did it, I followed the instructions, I followed the procedures and the protocols, I did all those things, and it worked out.
Well, that was cool. You know something? It's interesting how little you actually think when you're up there, and maybe from another perspective, how much you think. It's easy to get into the air and then forget some of the most important things that you were told, and what I discovered is this. The more I remember what I was told and think about that and do just what I was told, the better things work out. It's a little bit like faith. And we'll talk about that a little more. What a great experience. You're up there in the air soaring and think to yourself, wow, I'm actually flying. Not that I was flying. It's when you get up there that you're flying. But get up off the ground, a little wind beneath the wing, and it was great. Listen to the teacher. things go really well. Kind of think you know how to do it yourself and do your own thing? Not so well.
Man, the first time running off the hillside to hang glide, it was far more frightening than I actually thought it was going to be. And I didn't put my trust in the equipment and clung just way too tight. And so it wasn't a successful takeoff, but it was because I got nervous and I didn't trust my equipment or myself. I think it says that it's important to put your trust, you know, where your trust needs to be and to believe in what's carrying you forward.
Or is this a reckless faith? No, it isn't that. But it's important to remember that there are plenty of people in the Bible who stepped out in faith and walked right into the eye of a storm. So I'm going hang gliding. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That's verse 4. Abel had faith. And we know how that turned out. Verse 7 mentions Noah. Faith in God led Noah to go on the ride of his life. There had to have been moments when Noah wondered if he would get off that ark alive. Moments when his family came to him and said, "What were you thinking?" You see, faith can be a messy business. Don't make the mistake of thinking that because faith in God led you into some difficult situations, that faith was the wrong option. Faith doesn't equal easy street. Hebrews 11 talks about Abraham who, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Hebrews 11 verse 8, which wasn't pleasant and wasn't easy. Later, Abraham was asked to sacrifice his own son. By faith, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Faith led him to suffer affliction. You get the picture. Faith can be challenging. Faith doesn't take away the heat. It doesn't remove the stress. Faith doesn't cancel uncertainty. What it does, though, is it states that you're trusting God to be true to His word, regardless of the circumstances. And what is faith? Trusting that the word of God will do what it says it will do because it says so. Now, about that leap of faith, I'm ready to go. You don't want to miss this. I'll be right back.
Jesus said He came into the world to give us a more abundant life. And you can have that by making simple changes that bring profound results. And with that in mind, I'd like to offer you a special book. It's called Confidence in Chaos. If you want to get your heart right with God, this is the book that's going to set you on the path to that place. In order to get this book, call right now. The number is 1-800-253-3000 and simply ask for Confidence in Chaos or visit us online at iiwoffer.com.
What does the Bible say about astrology?
Why do bad things happen to good people?
What color is Jesus?
If you have a question, we'd love to find an answer for you from the Bible. Line upon line from It Is Written TV. Ghosts, ghouls, goblins, things that go bump in the night. People believe in them. People fear them. But are ghosts real? Ghosts have become a significant part of contemporary culture, even for Christians. But what does the Bible say about their existence? Join me for Are Ghosts Real? We'll go to a couple of creepy locations, and we'll investigate whether or not these things actually exist. And more importantly, we'll look at what the Bible says about ghosts. Are ghosts real? We'll wrestle with this important subject and find that the Bible is very clear in what it says. Are ghosts real? Watch now on It Is Written TV.
Thanks for joining me today on It Is Written. So, here I am getting ready to go hang gliding. And it seems to me that this exercise would be a very good object lesson of what faith is. In life, a believer learns to listen to the voice of God and follow what God says, because God is God. God knows best. God is full of wisdom. God has your best interests in mind. Faith is hearing the word of God and following that rather than following doubt or fear or the crowd. I'll give you, for instance, a simple one and an obvious one. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created. The prophets referenced creation. Jesus talked about creation. The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, like the first book in the Bible, talks about creation. According to the Bible, it's a done deal. God created the world. But some people say humans evolved and that the world came into existence as the result of the Big Bang. And then you'll have people who ask the very logical question, how could God create the world out of nothing? Now, is my faith in the creation account of the Bible just blind faith? No, it's not, because the Bible demonstrates to me again and again that I can trust it. Prophecy suggests I can. The biblical record suggests I can. As do history and archaeology. They all make it clear that my faith in the Bible is well-founded. For me to believe something that isn't in the Bible, now that would be a lack of faith, because in order to do that, I would have to reject what God says and believe something that is outside the Bible over that which is in the Bible. And that's not faith. So you can believe evolution, you can believe the flood never happened, you can believe there was no virgin birth, you can believe Jesus did not die on the cross, but you cannot then claim to have faith. Faith is believing the Word of God and acting on it. Now, before you say, whoa, he's not hang gliding, he's going with somebody else. I thought he was going to fly on his own. No, hold on a minute. Here's what I'm doing. I'm connecting myself to someone else, and I'm trusting someone else to get me through this in one piece and get me down safely. And that is what faith is. It's connecting yourself to somebody else and trusting that somebody else to get you through. That's how it works.
How you feeling?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. I'm gonna count 1, 2, 3, we go, okay?
Yep.
All right, let's see. Check. 1, 2, 3. Run, 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 run.
Wow. Wow.
Nice and easy.
Oh yeah, man. And off we went. It was exhilarating. There was this moment of, man, are we actually going to stay up here? And then you realize that, yes, you're actually going to stay up here. And you settle in and enjoy the scenery. Oh, man, awesome. That's what faith is like. I heard someone once say that faith grows by conflict with doubt. Doubt will suggest you pull back. But faith sees that doubt, recognizes that doubt, and forges on because there's something greater than doubt. That's the Word of God. So what are you wrestling with? Where is God asking you to take a leap of faith? Now, it might be that God is calling you to, let's say, serve as a missionary in some far-flung country. And you think about that, you say, I'd kind of love to, except that I don't know where my support is coming from. How could I bear to be away from home so long? There are so many details that I don't know how to figure out. But then you remember that it's God who is calling you. and you realize that if God is calling you, then He's able to work it out for you. Now, not too many people are being called to be missionaries in a foreign country, but it makes my point. So maybe it's different for you. Maybe God is speaking to you about your finances. Maybe God is asking you to tithe. And you're saying, I don't know if I can afford to do that. But you read in the Bible where God says that if you're faithful to Him with your finances, He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it all. Faith says, I don't see it, but I'll trust God. And you'll see that God is true to His word. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Or it might be that God is asking you to give Him your heart. And you're wondering what your family or friends will say, or what life will look like if you give your life over to God. And then you read the Bible, and you see that God promises to bless you and guide you and uphold you and fill your life with His presence. And faith says, I'll trust God. I'll follow His leading. I'll stand on His word. And that's faith. And your life changes. And you won't ever be the same again. You'll be redeemed, saved, transformed, on a new path, living a new life, a life with an eternal future. God offers you so much. He offers you forgiveness of your sins. He offers you the righteousness of Jesus, adoption into heaven's family. God offers you so much, and you can have it. You can have it all by faith. Take that leap of faith. It's the most reasonable thing that you could ever do.
Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Let me pray for you now. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful today for the gift of faith. I pray you'll grow our faith. And right now, there's someone who needs to make a leap of faith. Perhaps they're wrestling with relocating, something to do with health or finance or service, a career change, a relationship. Whatever it is, dear Lord, I'm encouraging you to place within us that faithfulness to follow you and trust in you. Someone right now is teetering on the brink of trusting you, or there's someone teetering on the brink of walking away from you because they're wondering how they can be a person of faith right now. Father in heaven, direct us to you. Remind us again that faith is trusting you and believing that you will do what only you can do, even for me. Thank you for faith. And thank you, Lord, for being so faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durand Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, you can contact me with my number 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny and rather warm conditions for this afternoon. A south breeze of 5 to 15. Highs will warm to the upper 80s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms will be likely. Lows will drop to the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all your IRS problems. 800-281-8193. It's 75 at our studios.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Closer. Now it's still better? Okay. No? Okay. I will fix it here. Okay. That better? Okay. All right, today's radio sponsor is Darren and Becky Lowenshagen to celebrate Madison's birthday on July 31st. And our mission team was sent off yesterday for the week of serving in Benton Harbor. And Pastor Bethany has said if you have any care needs, they will be covered by Pastor Mike Vetch. And there's a phone number here, and then there's, if you need the number, let me know. Otherwise, I think she's got it on the answering machine if you need it. Our Sunday worship times will switch next Sunday, August 4th. We will be changing to 8:30 here at Faith Lutheran Church, and it'll go to 10:30 at Rock Creek. I have one other bit of, there's the phone number. So if you need the phone, if you think you're going to need it, you can jot it down. I have one sad announcement Pastor Bethany passed on to me. I'm saddened to announce that Pastor Charles Plaster died unexpectedly after a brief illness while on vacation. Please pray for his wife, Connie, and their family. Are there any other announcements out there? There's Sunday supper. I see Sunday supper up there. Bingo at 3:30 and supper at 4:30. Today. Any other announcements? Being none, please stand as you are able in order of confession and forgiveness based on Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away from my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength sapped from heat. Watch my sin. Did not cover my shortcomings. I said, I will confess my sin to the Lord. Let the faithful pray you, or you will be found. God, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Therefore, I need only confess my shortcomings and trust that you will counsel me with loving eyes towards the grace. God, unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in God. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now we'll sing our opening hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of God. Prayer of the day. God of our life's song, the psalms sing of joy and mourning, peace and longing, contentment and lament. All of our life is lived in your loving presence. May the psalms speak hope to your heart and bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The congregation may be seated. I don't know, do we have any children here? Doesn't look like it. Okay. Then let's go ahead and play the centering song. Thank you.
days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause though my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God, yeah. Cause all my
stand as you are able as we welcome the word.
Our scripture reading for this morning is Psalm 145, verses 10 through 18. All your works praise you, O Lord, and your faithful servants bless you. They make known the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power, that the peoples may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout ages. The Lord is faithful in all his words and merciful in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and give you them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and satisfy the needs of every living creature. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving in all his works.
Grace and peace to you from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With the Olympics starting this weekend, you will hear the athletes proclaim that I am American. No, the USA isn't perfect, but it's better than many other countries. At least here we don't have to fear imprisonment should we disagree with government policies. Here we have adequate food, clothing, and shelter. It is great to be an American. Still, the USA can't compete with the greatness of God's kingdom. The kingdom is everlasting, and its king takes personal interest in each and every one of his subjects. Therefore, instead of reveling in the cry, I am an American, why don't we boldly proclaim, I am Christian. This is a fitting cry of a thankfulness for God's faithfulness and preserving our body, mind, and soul. Psalm 145 was written by King David, the strongest king in Israel ever had. Of course, David hadn't always been in a position of strength and wealth. Perhaps you remember now how he started out life as a shepherd boy, working for long hours without much pay to protect the sheep from marauding bears and lions and wolves. Later, he suffered abuse at the hands of an envious employer, King Saul, and then in his golden years, one of his own sons tried to take the throne away from him. Through all of it, God was faithful in providing for David's physical needs. Therefore, David wrote in verses 15 and 16, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." David was confident that God provided for every living thing. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? How can God care for 6 billion people in this world? In fact, some would say he doesn't and point to the famine-raged areas to prove their point. Although certain regions of the world have less food than others, overall there is more than enough food in the world to go around. In fact, God uses the USA to this end. Even when we have poor harvests, we still have more food than we can eat. Thankfully, our government ships this food to people who need it. God is faithful in his promise to provide, not just for all people, even for every insect and every blade of grass. Still, there are times when it doesn't seem as if God provides. Maybe it's in regards to finding a decent job or a place to live. When things aren't going your way, we would like in regard to these matters, we need to keep in mind that David said about God when God provides. David said that God gives us the proper time, God knows best when to give us that job. David learned that lesson firsthand. It wasn't until 15 years after he was anointed king that he actually became king. Even then, he had to wait another 7 years before his rule over all of Israel. God used that time to train David. Although David spent most of those years on the run, God protected and provided for David, proving that even though David himself did not have much strength or wealth to protect himself, God did. Later in life, David would recall how God had been with him during those tough times. He could be confident that God would continue to provide for all of his needs. Friends, God still dealt with us in the same way. If he hadn't yet given you what you think you need, be patient. God will give you what you need, although it may not be what you think you need, but he will provide it when you need it. Still, it's hard to wait for the Lord. At times, even David thought so. In Psalm 55, David wrote, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked. For they bring down the suffering upon me and revile me in their anger." David begged God to save him from whatever perils he was in, but didn't seem to receive an immediate answer. Did you mean God had abandoned David? No. In our text, admitted that God not only cares for our bodies, but he also cares for our minds as well. David said, "The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down." As you dealt with the heavy snow 2 winters ago, because last winter we didn't get much, having to shovel snow off roofs and driveways, God upholds us so that we don't snap under the pressures of life. If we do snap, we only have ourselves to blame. It's like this. On the west coast of Japan, especially in the mountainous regions, every home has a steeply pitched roof. It must be that way because they get lots of heavy, wet snow. And if they built the house with flat roof, it would cave under the weight. Steep pitch, on the other hand, causes the snow to slide off, protecting the house. When we get flat in our spiritual life, flat from not reading God's word, flat from not coming to God's house and receiving the sacrament, the burdens of life will pile on top of us until we snap under the pressure. We can keep this from happening by staying active in our prayer and devotional life. As we aim our thoughts heavenwards towards God's promises, faith, like steeply pitched roofs, will cause the burdens of life to slide right off of us. While we are thankful that God is faithful in providing for our bodies and minds, let's not forget how he provides for our souls. Without the forgiveness of sins and without faith to believe in this forgiveness, God's care for us would only be temporary, since it would end the day we die. David said in our text, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all that he has made." The Lord is near us all who call him, to all who call on him in truth. David had much to be thankful for spiritually. He had been born into a family who taught him about the true God. He himself had been privileged to teach others, even us, about God through the 73 Psalms. God inspired him to write those Psalms, but God didn't give David his faith. He also protected him for it. Do you remember how for a time David threw away God's promise of eternal life so he could enjoy a carnal one? Yes, I'm talking about David's sins of adultery with Bathsheba. Not only did David sleep with someone who was not his wife, he arranged to have Bathsheba's husband murdered. For about a year, David lived without repenting of those sins and would not have gone to heaven had he died in his impatience. Still, God was faithful to David. He sent him the prophet Nathan, who pointed out David's sins and called him to repent. David listened to Nathan and was reassured that his sins had been forgiven. God remains faithful to us in the same way. Even though we have been blessed with the word, many of us from time to time, what we were born, often take it for granted, don't we? Although God has every right to abandon us for this thanklessness, he doesn't. When we wander away, he sends faithful preachers in our parents, siblings, fellow members, our pastor, and even our spouses. Sure, it hurts when they point out sin in our life. It hurts when they demonstrate how our priorities have gotten out of whack. But thank God for these faithful preachers. Thank God that they all call us to repent so we don't end up throwing away the gift of eternal life Jesus won for us. I am an American. Being an American citizen is certainly something to be thankful for. It's just another example of how God has provided for our physical need by placing us in this peaceful and wealthy country. Let physical blessings, however, overshadow the importance of our spiritual blessing. Because God paid for our sins, we have eternal life. Because the Holy Spirit brought us to faith, we will benefit from the forgiveness of sins Jesus won. Sure, I am an American, but I'm a lot happier that I am a Christian. Amen. Now we will sing our hymn of the day.